Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by HostGator. If you're like me and computer illiterate and our favorite Swede makes fun of you on a daily basis, HostGator can help you out with that. If you want to start a blog or a website, it's easy to use with their one-click installers for popular open-source programs like WordPress or Drupal. Hey, need something even easier? HostGator has drag-and-drop website builders. Their shared hosting service is optimized around WordPress so your blog always loads fast. They have 24/7 support staff and they're always available whenever you need them. Maybe you really figured out something special like, say, how to make monkeys fly, but now you're out of money and you have no idea how to get that information out there. Well, guess what? With HostGator, you can start your own website for just a few dollars a month. Install WordPress with one click or use their easy-to-use website builder. And guess what, folks? Use the coupon code FLIGHTTEST and get 30% off. And then maybe we'll check out your website or blog, and if we like it, we're going to give you a shout-out on the show. All right, everyone. Coming up on this next FT After Hours podcast, I finally got Chad Capper in the studio. He's a hard one to get. He's always busy doing something, but I finally twisted his arm and threatened his life, and we got him to come in and sit down. And I wanted to get Chad in here because we were just getting back from the Toledo show, and I just wanted to get his perspective. He usually has a different perspective, and he kind of likes some stuff a little different than like Wayne and I, so I just wanted to see what he's seen at the show and what he liked, and we indulge a little bit deeper into the show. We get derailed a little bit, but I think that's typical, and we had a lot of fun. So sit back, relax, and here we go. All right, guys, welcome. We are back. I don't even know what we're up to. Episode 6 or something.
Episode 183.
But we are back, and you might have heard a strange voice in here. Well, we got Wayne Griffith, and you've been kind of minus there for a little while.
Yep.
And I'm back, and who is that strange voice over there?
Hi, I'm Chad.
Chad who?
Chad Capper.
Chad Capper. Hey, I can't believe I got funny. Chad Capper in the studio.
Yeah.
Do you know how long I've been trying to get you in here? You're a busy man.
At least
what
a week.
Have you? What have you been doing? Where have you been? What's going on? Fill us in.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
There's a lot. Oh, I can't go into everything right now.
All right, well.
I've got some other developments. You know, I'm working on some other things, and they're not far enough along to share with everyone yet.
Oh.
You know, maybe I'm a little superstitious.
You mean like in the basement?
But yeah, I've got some other things other than flight related things, and some things that are flight related that aren't flight test that, you know, our viewers and our members will learn about very soon.
Good. Well, hey, we're glad to have you. Glad to see you.
I'm glad to
and,
be here.
And we got to hang out with you over the weekend, so we had a good time.
Oh,
yeah. We
time.
Were up at Toledo.
Yeah, which we'll get into. Hey, you know what? Before we get into the show and all that, there's a few things, but one thing I wanted to just touch base with to see if it's been really not bothering me, but this Malaysia airline things has just been bugging the crap out of me.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys like have, what do you think? I mean, I'll tell you what I think here in a minute, but what are your thoughts on this, and how do you make a 747 disappear like that?
I don't know. I don't know. I struggle with that because everybody asks me, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know.
No,
and
no.
And I don't think about it. And I mean, I'm not trying to be insensitive,
right.
But I don't know what to think about it. I don't know where to get the information. I mean, it's when something happens, I'm sure I'll hear about it.
Right.
But to follow it each day and to speculate each day would drive me insane.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about it every day, but like, you know, every few days, it's still in the news, obviously,
right.
Since they haven't found it. So what about you, Wayne? I mean, any thoughts of what, you know, any conspiracy theories or anything you've been thinking?
No, the only thing that's been really bothering me about this, and I'm just trying to get my head around, is why can a pilot turn off a transponder? What would be the purpose? What's the benefits? Why could they turn off a transponder?
All right. Well, I'll tell you, just from what I learned, I got a lot of pilot buddies and have talked to a lot of them. And through different variations or everything, most of them have said the same thing. And basically, when you're flying along and you're on a route, you're, you know, obviously constantly thinking if something would happen or what, you know, they go through the motions. But they always know exactly, if there is a problem, where the closest airport is, okay? So say they had an electrical fire or something happened in the cockpit where they instantly lost their transponder or their navigation or whatever. Most of them have said right off the bat that, yeah, I think that was my level.
Yeah,
I was
sorry.
Like, wait, what happened? Oh.
Mine was a little loud.
All right. Right off the bat, if they had a problem in that cockpit and they had especially a fire, the first thing, if you look where that pilot turned left, was heading right for an airport instantly. That was his first reaction. Now, again, this is all speculation. So he instantly turned left and headed for that airport. Now, if they did have a fire in the plane or in the cockpit or whatever, their theory was they probably became overwhelmed with smoke, and it knocked them out. So at that point, if that did happen, then you have that airplane going on whatever flight path it is for, would they have 7 hours of fuel?
Mm-hmm.
So then you got to draw that big circle of where that plane could possibly go after 7 hours of fuel. But I still think in the big picture, you don't realize how vast the earth and the water until a 747 disappears.
Right. Well, and I think, and I don't want to sound insensitive, like I don't care. It's just that I know there's nothing I can do about it.
Right, right.
And I also know that if something does transpire, something does pop up, I'm going to hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all. I just kind of tune out because I've got enough to worry about.
Yeah. I just find it interesting, really, that, you know, with today's modern technology and everything they have, that this 747 just basically disappeared.
Well, I think because of looking at it that way, I take a little bit different perspective. I think it's interesting that we can keep track of as much as we do. Mm. So when one does actually slip by, what's the improbability that one slipped by, or the fact that we can keep track of as much as we do?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and we track so much of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, could it be as simple as, you know, electrical failure or something somewhere just failed?
Right.
And maybe it was a combination of things that are extremely rare but just happened to be the case where two things failed. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, when it first happened, the conspiracy theories were all run. Oh, I thought for sure it was hijacked and they're hiding in a hangar. But after talking to all my pilot buddies and listening to everything, I think there was actual problem with the plane, and they, you know, probably might have been overcome with smoke.
If you forced me to venture a guess, I would say that something just went wrong. Something broke.
Right. So anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Just get
well, speaking of fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
None of us here were here.
Right.
When it happened, but we had a little incident and we lost a laser cutter.
Yes. Why don't you go ahead and tell them? You probably got more
details. Well, I wasn't
details.
Here. I heard it from the fringes, but
I seen the video.
I did see a video.
Wow. I just can't believe he's running through there filming a fire. I'm like, what are you doing, yeah. David?
So people are David. Wondering, you know, what happened? Well, I guess one of the laser cutters, something had happened, and the material in it caught fire. And, you know, everybody was fairly close, but they were far enough away that they didn't hear it or see it. And as soon as they smelled smoke, they were on it. And David, apparently his first instinct or reaction was to record video, and which, I don't know, it was kind of cool because you saw Josh and Alex handle it expertly.
Right, right,
and,
right.
I'm glad nobody's hurt.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So we are down a laser cutter, but, you know, they're making do and they're making it work, and a new one's on the way. But I don't know, things like that just make me really proud of flight test and the guys here.
But so, that is a scary
thing. I mean,
thing.
Not, the fire doesn't make me proud, but right. How it was handled.
Yeah. So. That they're thinking, you know, hey, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
So, it's too bad one of the guys that was actually here isn't in the podcast to talk about it.
Oh yeah. Right. Oh yeah. By the way, maybe we'll mention this. They'll probably be back by right, they'll get back. When they come back? Sunday, I think.
I think Sunday.
And this will probably go out Monday, but the whole gang's down at Ceph. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be down there all week hanging out.
South Electric Fun Fly? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, something like that. So
we should know.
I'm hoping they're having a good time because I'm jealous.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
That I'm sitting here, but what are you going to do? hey, one other thing before I forget, before we jump into everything, I just wanted to thank everybody out there for all the comments and suggestions and everything about our little live podcast and our questions and answers that we were doing. And I just wanted to let everybody know we're working on it. I got a lot of stuff in the works. We're going to make it better, bigger, and better.
What were some of the issues that you had with the live podcast?
Nothing too bad, but we definitely found out right away it would be instrumental to have some type of screener. You know, we could have somebody off in the corner, let us know what questions are coming in, what they want to ask. And it's very simple. We can do that. The Blog Talk Radio has the technology to do that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to work on that. I'm hoping down the road, if this does take off and people really enjoy it, maybe we can get some kind of phone system in here and we don't really have to do that, you know.
No, that would be nice.
Right. So we're thinking about that.
Huh.
And but I love the concept of doing the live podcast and mm-hmm. taking the phone calls. You know, if we can get into more, you know, bigger group discussions with people and, you know, I think it's going to be good down the road here. We're going to try some reviews. Matter of fact, we'll talk about the ultra micro radian here in a minute, but yes. I think that might be our first podcast review.
Ooh, nice. So once who's reviewing it, Wayne?
Probably might
did you
be.
Fly it?
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, you mean not today?
Not today. No,
oh,
no.
I'm like, wow.
No,
you just
no,
got it.
No.
Okay.
Might be a couple weeks or so. Hopefully the weather will hold out and we can get a little podcast review on that. It'd be nice to take people's opinions on it and you know, questions about it. So we'll see how it goes, but that's what we're hoping.
Oh, that'll be nice.
So.
Oh, yeah. Just opened up the box about 2 hours ago.
Yeah. It was a special day for Wayne and I. We got home and seen the ultra micro radius. I was just like, oh.
Well, up at Toledo, you got your picture taken with it.
Yes, I did. And I'm excited because originally when they announced it, you know, they brought out all their new products from the Nuremberg Toy Fair. Originally, it was supposed to be here in May. I mean, we were like, May, come on, you're killing us, May. And then they upped it, what, to the 24th? And then the 14th?
The 15th.
15th.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, we're...
They said, then the 8th?
Yeah, and then I seen on RC Groups, Matt Andren came on and said, hey, the Micro Radian's shipping out tomorrow. I'm like, no way. So...
Wow, that was... I'm not quite as excited because it only has one propeller.
Yeah.
But, I've just been consumed with multi-rotors.
Right,
lately.
Right. And that's one reason why I have you on here because we were at the Toledo show up on Saturday and we walked around and it you know, the thing is me and Wayne are a lot alike and on the same page with airplanes and gliders and DLGs and everything. So I wanted you on here to get your perspective and what you seen there, what you liked. Because I know it's probably stuff I glanced over,
I probably did that with the planes. Like, I like planes. I'm just really in multi-rotor mode right now.
Right.
And so anything multi-rotor I was on top of and checking out or buying or
whatever.
Right, So I bought the RCI Extreme from RC Logger.
Yeah.
And the number one reason I bought it was how quiet it was.
Uh-huh.
It's a – I don't know what size that would be. No, but it's just as small as you can get and still carry a GoPro.
Wow.
Which I haven't done with it yet. Mm-hmm. But
have you flown it, though?
Yeah, oh, I did. Oh, okay. I flew it as soon as the daylight came. Yeah, I mean, it was it's a great little quad. It's got three modes. The only thing I didn't like is using the stock transmitter.
Right.
But you can bind it to other transmitters, but I haven't quite... read all the documentation yet as to how they have their little module that you can use with other transmitters.
Yep.
But I think you can also bind it to certain, like maybe an Aurora, because the box says it has, it's compatible with FHSS, which is Aurora, the high-tech controller uses that. So I haven't been able to, I haven't really dug into it to figure it out yet.
What's their controller like? Is it a regular full-size controller?
No, it's a little, looks like a PlayStation controller.
Oh, like their little i1 controller?
Yeah, it's the same size.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I got it at the show for like $110, which it's, I think, normally 100 and, 130, something like that. And yeah, so it was, but even at 130, I think it's worth it. It's a nice little quad, and it's got a ton of power. It's so quiet.
Pretty stable.
Very stable. Yeah. I'm interested in seeing how the camera view is, if, you know, because if it does have any, you know, jiggly high gains or anything like that, the camera will show it.
I got a question for you. Where do you think, just in my opinion, this copter thing, I think, is kind of going to top out here before long.
No.
I mean, not as far as, like, technology, but, like, if you go on a forum or you go on any kind of site, there are so many companies producing these quadcopters or hexacopters. I mean, there's so many different designs.
Right.
I think it's finally going to have to get to that point. I mean, you can only
We're going to get to the refinement point. It's like paintball. I don't know how many people remember paintball.
Oh, yeah,
in the 80s.
I played paintball.
Well, I mean, when it first came out, yeah, there were all these guns came out.
Right.
And, you know, and you could get different styles, and they started getting a semi-auto and things like that. But eventually they started refining it, and then you could get electronic triggers.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and so I think it'll maybe that's what you mean by top out.
Yeah, it's going to top out, and they're going to find their, you know, there might be four or five companies that are building these real good high, you know, good quality, you know, whether it's certain type of frame or whatever design, and that's going to be the norm.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's where I say refinement. I think what that's going to be is it's going to be about how it looks next.
Right.
You know, like the efficiency, so longer flight times. You know, make them quieter. How's it going to look?
Right.
Mods and add-ons. What can how can you reconfigure it? But as far as like multi-rotors popularity, I think we're still on the uphill.
Yeah, I agree with that. The technology, I mean, every 6 months, it's just starting to blow my mind. I can't keep up with it. I'm always asking, well, what about this? What about that? You know.
Well, part of it is almost, you know, I built my first quadcopter 3.5 years ago.
Right.
Before the show, and it had like one flight, but I think back, and it was really exciting because you feel like you're breaking new ground. You feel like you're doing something nobody's ever seen, or you know,
right.
Where now it's happening so fast, and they're incorporating on-screen displays, color on-screen displays, and multiple cameras, and 3D, and all of this. I guess to the general public, it's exciting, but to me, it's almost sad because it almost feels like there's no place to go that's new.
Yeah,
like almost like that area. Maybe that's what you're feeling or what you're seeing.
Yeah, kind of.
But it like tops out. It's like everything from this point is just a refinement, making it better.
Right.
And that does makes me a little sad. I mean, it wouldn't be any suggestion that it shouldn't be like that or be at that point. I mean, I'm also excited because you get to have fun doing it, but I think at some point you kind of felt exclusive. You'd share somebody, you know, hey, I'm doing this, and I put on these goggles and I fly it remotely, and they're like, what? And now it's like, oh yeah, my friend does that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so now that exclusivity is kind of fading.
Right. And that was my other question for you is now you have like DJI coming out with these visions and these phantoms where somebody that's got a lot of money goes plops down $1,000 and look. Boom! They, you know,
yeah, they're doing what we tweaked for forever,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's
it is what it is.
But that's a selfish perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, the thing that says, "Ooh, I want to be exclusive." That's selfish. That's not helping others. So
yeah.
I'm, you know, I don't dwell in it or anything. It's just, I think it's just like a nostalgic sadness. It's kind of like that season is gone now. You know, that season of innovating in multi-rotors is past, and now it's the next one. And I have ideas. I have things that I'm excited to explore through Rotor Bones and, you know, and to bring to the line. And, you know, but some of the notable – let's talk about some of the notable stuff. And I don't know how much of it – or is that – what were you going to say?
No, please? No, that's fine. I was just going to throw my little bit of 2 cents in there for the fact that I love the multi-rotor stuff. Love it. I you know what you do, and I watch David, and I watch Wayne fly. But my perspective of it was a little bit is I'm not the best flyer at multi-rotors. Yeah, I can fly them around, crank around, but at this point in my life, anyway, I don't have a lot of time to
tweak with it and tune with, you know what I mean? I just kind of, but here was the thing. The day I come in and was helping out or working around, and I said, hey, Chad, what can I do? Anything? I'll sweep the floor. And you're like, build a quadcopter. I'm like, what? You want me to build a quadcopter? Yeah. Here's the parts. Here's the control board. Build it and fly it. Okay. I had no clue what I was doing. What the, I threw that thing together, and Wayne was here because I go, Wayne, are you getting out of work? You got to come down and help me because I don't know what I'm doing. So we threw this thing together in like 3 hours.
Right.
Put everything on it. I didn't balance it. I was like, okay, it's all together. Let's see if it flies. And we walked out in that garage and we fired it up. The thing just went just straight. And I was like, how is that even possible? So that blew me away that, you know, somebody with no skill level can buy, you know, I don't know what kind of money was involved. It probably was around $100, I'm guessing.
Probably a little more.
A little more?
But right around there.
Right around $100 that anybody has.
Oh, you know, it might be less on the one that you – did it have the Blue Wonder motors?
No.
Which motors?
No, it had the little better – the Manchild.
Oh yeah, those are a little pricier. Okay. So they're really good motors.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
and tons of power. But I mean, for the fact that anybody can go out and for a little over $100 and just throw it together and put that.
There's a Wii controller.
Yeah, the Wii controller, the
multi Wii.
Yeah, and go out and fly blew my mind.
So, oh yeah,
oh yeah, well, he popped that thing right up in the air and just sat there and hovered.
I mean, just like I was like. We didn't.
But isn't it fun? I mean, you put it together.
It was.
Oh, you've seen him.
I was like a kid in a can. I mean, I was just. Oh, look at this! Look at this! Flying right. You know,
look, it goes forward and backwards.
Yeah. There's. I thought for sure this thing was going to go out there and just go and be all crazy, and it wasn't. You know.
Well, a lot of that's due to the flight controllers. They've come such a long way, and they're now. It's funny. Now the worst one on the market is. Far superior than the one that I had on my first quadcopter.
Really?
Oh yeah, the one I had, the Ardu copter, and I built it out of an Arduino, full size Arduino board plus a shield, and you know, soldered on my own gyros and all that. And now David, I don't know if you guys know, but his first tricopter he built with gyros. It had flight controller.
Right, right.
He had four gyros on it.
Right.
One for each motor. And then one for the servo, for the tail, for the yaw.
Right.
And the first one Josh and I built together was a copy of what David had built. And that I look at that and I'm like, I can't even believe that flew. Like, they flew, but that's a whole different
animal.
Way of setting it up. Yeah. I mean, there's no programming, really. It's just the gyro, you know, I don't know. It's just funny because I think back and I'm like, yeah, thank goodness we don't have to build them like that anymore because that was so much work.
Yeah, and it seemed like there was a lot of crashing back then.
Yeah, well, but that's what's funny. Go back to David's old videos and some of his early videos, which are rock solid, that's the airframe and the setup that he flew it on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can't even imagine how many multi-rotors David has built.
Right.
You know, and because every time I don't think one will last more than 3 months.
Yeah,
he destroys it or wrecks it and rebuilds it. And you know, that's just due to that. But then he's got all his experimental ones, like he did the V-tail quad and all that. And he just built one that the spider quad.
Yeah,
he built it with the new rotor bones hub. It's the electro hub that has the solder points built onto the hub. And he thought it would be fun to do this, and he designed and built his own gimbal that has full 360 on the rotation.
That thing is awesome.
It really looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
Like, I'm really proud of him. I mean, he had an idea. He built it, and I flew it the other day.
Right.
You saw me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. That was the best flight experience. It had a NASA controller on it, so... You actually fly from the GoPro on the gimbal with the NASA in attitude hold.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have any idea what the body is doing. You know, you're letting the controller take it over, and you're just flying the image around. And it's crazy.
That's what I liked your comment that you made, that you said it felt like you were flying a camera because you couldn't see
right.
the quad at all. All you've seen was you flying.
Yeah, he kept the way he built it, the front arms are spread a little further, and he kept the camera out front, and he used his camera tray and modified it for the gimbal that he built on the 3D printer. And after flying that, I almost wanted, if he hadn't left for Ceph, I'd be like, David, build me one tonight.
Right.
But yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
So, it looked awesome.
Yes, yeah. It did.
So stuff like that. I mean, you say, what's next? Like, that's just a further refinement.
Right.
It's nothing about it is super special by itself.
Right.
People have done integrated, circuitry for it. People have, the Any Quad has been out, the booms, we tried different things. Right. That one he made out of, he used the aluminum booms.
Right.
Mainly because they were black and he wanted it to be all black. Mm-hmm. But, and it's funny because people ask, there was a comment on Facebook about so Alex using wood booms.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said, good luck with that. And I'm like, really? We've been using wood booms for years.
Right.
Like, there's a reason
right.
we use them.
Right.
It keeps the vibration down. It doesn't block RF. They break on a hard impact, which is good because it's the cheapest part mm-hmm. to replace.
Yep.
That's why we use wood booms, because they, it's got so many benefits.
Yeah.
And you can paint them.
True.
So there's a lot you can do with them. Because even if you have aluminum and it holds up more, when you crash, I doubt you're going to crash an aluminum arm and it's not going to bend.
Yeah.
Because I've never done that.
Right.
I mean, not unless you just kind of hopped it up and it rolled or something. But if you crash like we normally crash,
exactly,
that aluminum's toast.
Right.
So, and then you got the carbon fiber, which is light, but it's not RF transparent,
mm-hmm.
and it splits all the time. It's nice. And if you don't crash, it holds up great. But if you crash, it will split, just very similar to the wood.
Yeah, I agree.
So. Now, the cool thing with the multi-copters is you can build, especially if you're building, you can build it to what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have the guys that put the cameras on. I just put my lights on the bat bones.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
guys that are flying these things and just doing aerobatics, doing flips and all kinds of competition races. So, you can, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Did you talk about your Arduino lighting?
No.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I want to do that. I haven't had the time. I really badly want to sit down and learn how you did that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was just a lot of, just trying to figure out the programming for the digital lights. But what was really fun with this is, I even had a neighbor that came over and says, "What is that thing?" I am not a good builder. And when you look at this thing and you see all the wires on there, it is not pretty. It is not. But, man, when that thing gets up in the air and you flip the switch and those lights start going.
You don't see all the ugliness.
I get cars driving down they're going down, getting ready to turn, and they stop and they come down. You can feel them stop right there in front of the house and watching me buzz that thing around, especially if it starts getting dark outside. But, see, that was the thing. When I seen the bat bones, you designed it, I looked at it. I thought, man, that thing is cool. And then all of a sudden my brain says, let's put digital LED lights on it,
Right.
So I got digital LED lights down both sides, coming all the way to the back and across the front. So the front ones are more like headlights, or I can flip the one switch and it'll go into like Knight Rider mode where the red lights go back and forth. I can change the blue stripey lights to crazy rainbow lights. It was just a showboat. It's just for looks.
It's fun.
Absolutely. I still have my other one where I could slap my GoPro on it and go fly it, So that's the cool part about this stuff is the lady was asking, she goes, "Well, does that come in a kit? You just buy it?" And I go, "No."
You're like many kits.
Yeah. Well, you see, this comes as a kit, and then you had to add these parts, and then this board I had to program to do these lights. And
yeah. It will. It'll be
a
kit.
Yeah, not at all.
Now, for me, since I'm horrible at electronics and stuff, can you maybe even explain a little bit to everybody else, too, like what you did or how you went about doing it with the Arduino board?
Well, with the Arduino board, the only thing I did was I just went online and found you can find the different sketches for running digital LED lights.
Mm-hmm. And a sketch is a program
it's
that you load into it?
Right, okay. And that's what you load up into the Arduino board. And so what you do is you just find, okay, this is what it'll do for this pattern. Of course, you go through and you find out, okay, I want this color, I want to do this. And then you start working like, okay, what's it take to merge these things together? And what gets really interesting is, like with me, I've learned how to use the Arduino board because it also reads the receiver. So I use switches. So I have the one switch turns them on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it turns it into three stages. One's off, the other one's blue stripey, the other one's rainbow, and then I use another switch, and it changes between headlights or the Knight Rider mode. And so you know, you're playing, okay, I got this to work. Okay, I got this to work. Great. You know, and then, okay, got these lights. Great. You think you got it all whipped. You put them all together and find out the program's too big. It won't fit on the board.
Oh,
so
really?
You got to squish it down a little bit, you know.
So you have to go through and make your program more efficient?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. Tell me about that.
But you see, but that was my – because I've never done programming before. Mm-hmm. I'm learning this thing on the fly.
Oh, wow.
So that's what made that fun. It's just – but then again, it's something to keep the mind, you know, going. You know, mm-hmm. just sit there and like to play with these things and
so maybe I'm getting too geeky, but how did you squish it down? Was there like added notes in the program lines that you were?
Well, actually, the notes don't really take up much. It's in the procedures. So you actually start playing with the procedures and in the if statements, mm-hmm. and you just start learning how to do different counts and get it to cycle through. And then you just manipulate it a little bit. Next thing you know, it's working. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, for somebody that doesn't know – I'm doing air quotes. Oh, yeah. No programming. That sounds pretty
– sounds complicated. Yeah. I don't know.
It was ridiculous.
But the possibilities are almost endless, I take it. No?
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, it's where do you want to go with this thing? It's
wow.
But also too, what did we just come off of? The most ridiculous winter ever. So I had lots of recliner time where I'm sitting there with my laptop playing with this. My wife's laughing because I got this board with all the LED lights and Arduino boards and receiver and my radio and sitting there trying different things. And
I'm excited to see what your Christmas tree is going to look like next year.
Yeah, well, she kind of likes that idea too. So
oh man. All right. Hey, let's move on a little bit. Let's get into the show up at Toledo.
Okay.
I'm going to start with you, Chad. I mean, you know, it went by. How long were we up there? 4 or 5 hours?
It was all day. All day. So we got there at like 10. We left around 5.
Yeah. So, and I think we really only made it through maybe once. And, you know, normally what I like to do is kind of run through everything, mm-hmm. see everything, and then go back and look at the stuff you want to look at. But I don't even know if we really made it that far.
I learned from last year. I'm like, okay. There's a good chance I'm going to run into somebody either I know or knows me from the show.
Right.
So I just hit it and started walking. Sure enough, we went to the restroom first.
Yeah, right.
Came out of there, and there's a group around David.
Yeah. Yep.
And so we had to go see what was the first
Ready-Made
booth?
RC.
Yeah, Ready-Made RC. They had an awesome booth, by the way. They probably, in my opinion, they win booth of the show. Uh-huh. Like, I think their booth was the best booth there. No offense, Horizon, but Horizon's booth's been the same every year. Yeah. It's just new product, but same kind of design.
Yeah.
Where Ready Meat, I thought it was pretty cool. They had they had so much there, and they had the goggles hooked up so you could try them out, all different goggles and different doodads. And I love seeing things that you don't see at every other table.
Right.
So anyhow. So had to get over there. So then we ended up talking to the Ready-Made RC guys. And then Josh got there, and we ended up talking to our own guys.
Right.
And then as soon as I was able to kind of break away from that, I kind of sprinted. Like, I walked fast, and I tried to cover as much ground as I could before I ran into the next people, which, don't get me wrong, that was the highlight of the show, was getting to meet people that, you know, might know me from the show or whatever, because – the best part, I don't know if I shared this with you, but my favorite thing was to meet somebody that was there with a friend or a father or grandfather or something that hadn't seen the show. Usually if they're related, they saw the show.
Right.
But if it was a friend, they would explain to the friend what flight test is.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked being there to hear that because that's a perception that I can't see, you know, or that's something that I can't understand until I hear somebody's perception of it, because it's funny to hear what the first episode is they explain or what we are, you know.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, that's always fun, because I love to get kind of objective views or third party views of what, you know, things I'm involved in.
Yeah.
And and that would usually I mean, every aisle, I get down an aisle, and then at the end we'd be stopped again. But you know what? That's what I loved.
Yeah,
so I got to see enough. I had enough breaks that I was able to cruise through things and see what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
I even got upstairs and got to check out the swap shop, which is one of my favorite things. Because you got so many, like, just old models and glow engines and all of this, and just weird oddities and things like that. And No, so for me it was great. I think I got to see everything I wanted to see. But I had it planned in my head. I knew that in between meeting and greeting, I was gonna race through the aisles to see what I could see.
Right.
Yeah, that was what was funny, because when we all walked through, when we first got there, you and David are automatically mobbed. So Chris and I took off, and we decided we went all the way down at the other end and started working our way up the aisles. And we came through, and you and David haven't moved. We are giggling. Chris goes, look.
I told him, I said, Wayne, if this is anything like last year, we got to go now. But I said, they'll be here when we get through here. They'll be right here. I guarantee you they're the same spot when we walk through.
And you were.
Come around the corner. There you were. You guys were still in the same spot. I said, look, Wayne, I told you.
What's funny is people ask, they're like, why don't you guys get a booth?
I had a lot of people with that.
But you know what? To get a booth, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of money. And when you walk around, you get to meet people.
Yep. Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, if you're at a booth, you kind of get wrapped up in your own little world and you don't get to meet people. And, you know, so, I mean, we had a booth. We always, you know, somebody would always have to be manning it. And we'd have to have a plan, and it costs money and all this. Where if we go up and just cruise, then all of us get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah, right.
And that's, I don't know, that's way more fun.
Yeah.
And I think even the people we get to meet enjoy that.
Right.
Like it's cool. It's cool to just have a casual conversation without that table between you.
Yeah. And I told a lot of people this too, because I had the same thing. Hey, you know, how's it? They talked to them a little. Hey, where's your booth? We want to go. We're just like you. We're just come up here to hang out, look at the latest and greatest, and walk around, have a good time. That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
And you get to meet all the vendors when you get out of your booth.
Yeah.
Right? And now you're going around
and talk
and
to them.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
With Flight Test, we want to meet everybody. And that was the cool part about there, is meeting the fans and the people that are there. The father comes up and says, yeah, my son and I, we crash your planes all the time, you know. But he's, we know where Dollar Store is, you know. And they go out and get their, foam. But it's so cool, to hear him talk and tell us the stories. And he looks at his son and says, yeah, we got a basement full of airplanes. And the kid's eyes open up and he goes, oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool is, and I've heard it many times on how Flight Test is getting people back into RC.
I heard that so many times, especially this show, people letting me know, wow, Flight Test got me started. I'm like, wow, that's really.
Yeah.
Well, it made it approachable. For one, you guys are fun. I mean,
you've been here since the week one.
But it's just, make it fun and make it affordable. Make it reachable for people. Not everybody can go out and spend $500, $600 to $1,000 on a new radio, new expensive balsa plane that one wrong move and it's a million pieces.
Yeah.
So you blow it up, go buy some more foam,
And that's what got me over the hurdle was when I got into the hobby, which was only 4 years ago, was I was kind of at a place in my career where I could afford to try it, and that's what kept me out of it. In high school, I remember, I'm like, I can't drop $500. That was 1991 I graduated. I can't drop $500 to, that's like four car payments, And so I remember that, and that kind of stuck with me through the years, and it was always something interesting to me, but I felt unapproachable. And then about 4 years ago, I'm like, why don't I try it? I can afford to try it. And then I got into it, and it's so funny because I had a $125 plane, and I destroyed it.
Yeah, that was a sad day.
Wayne was there, and I felt so sick to my stomach. I mean, you just feel like, I felt less sick, and I've been in car accidents before, and it's so weird. And you're like, why? Why am I so upset over this?
I agree.
And
same thing with me. Exactly. I destroyed like two or three planes, and it got to the point where I'd buy them again. And it was so, I was so nervous. If I didn't have zero wind and it wasn't ideal, I'm like, I'm not flying. And I'd just go home and sulk, and that's one of the main reasons there for a while. I got out of it, went into the cars. I could go buy a car and beat the daylights out of it and have a great time, But I'd still in the back of my head, I miss the airplanes and the flying.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about when we did destroy them, you're like, oh, I got to buy a brand new one. You were just devastated.
Well, if Mike Coolins, who's a good friend of the show, he's the same way.
I love Mike.
He'll maybe have a rough landing or something, and he'll get a crinkle in it, and he'll be like, oh no, oh no, I gotta fix it. And like he can't sleep until it's fixed.
Right.
And I'm like, Mike, you picked the wrong hobby.
Yeah.
But it is funny because that's and eventually Josh introduced me to scratch building.
Right.
And it's so funny because I remember back like when he first was telling me about it, I'm like, yeah, that sounds interesting. But then when I built my very first scratch build, I was like, this is the most awesome thing ever. Mm-hmm. I just built a plane that flies out of a sheet of foam.
Right.
And I don't know why, but it was so addicting. And, you know, the FT Flyer was one of the early scratch builds that I built. And I just, it was, and it still is one of my favorite flyers.
Yeah.
And you wreck it and you don't care because you could go cut another piece and tape it together. And it doesn't matter that it looks all crappy because everybody that has it bashes around and... And it doesn't matter. And that really loosened me up, you know.
Maybe for Mike's case, we'll go buy him a box of foam and a new hot glue gun. Say, here you go, Mike. Don't worry about it. Just cut it and fix it.
Yep. Inventors are getting really good now. You can get parts instead of, okay, I wiped out a wing or, you know, I destroyed a fuselage. Okay, pull all the pieces, parts, transfer it to the new one and go. Mm-hmm. So
Horizon's always been pretty good at it.
Yes.
One of my first – I don't remember what number plane it was, but it was one of my first three. Was the Horizon Mustang, the micro?
Oh yeah, the ultra micro
Mustang.
P-51. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that thing, I flew that till it had tape all over it, and just everything. It was so funny because I would replace the wing, then I would replace tail, I don't know, and then I replaced the fuselage. I'm like, at some point, like it has just been completely gutted and rebuilt.
And then it gets to the point with mine, I kept putting more tape and fixing things and glue and tape, and it got to the point where the battery, even though it was brand new, instead of going like 5 minutes, I get about 2 minutes
because it weighed twice as much.
I had to fly full throttle the whole time.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Well, and it's funny because the very first RC project I got into was that quadcopter.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, no, the plane that Wayne was with me when I destroyed it was a jet. My wife bought me an EDF jet. That's what I told her to buy.
Yeah.
I was that guy.
Yes.
I'm going to fly 100 miles an hour and I'm going to do it right away.
20 mile an hour crosswinds.
Yeah, it was, my gosh.
It was not good.
So that was the very first one. But then, well, and if I want to go back a little further, Air Hogs.
Oh, yeah.
My son and I would fly those, but that was...
Right.
That was different.
And it's funny because I now have probably three, I think maybe four guys at work because they know what I do and how I like to fly that have bought their sons airplanes for Christmas or for their birthdays here in the winter, and they've bought themselves. And I keep telling them, wait till the weather's good. I'll come out and help you. Wait till the weather's good. I'll come down. Don't go out and fly the airplane until I get with you. So
right.
I think so far they have, and I haven't really heard. But so...
Well, I was going to say, so I built the quad.
Yeah.
And then I got into planes for some reason. And then I got into FPV.
Yep.
And, you know, and then I was scratch building. And then FPV planes again. And then I didn't get into FPV multirotors till just a couple years ago, you know, about a year after the show started.
Because
that was scary, flying FPV on a multirotor.
Yeah.
That takes some getting used to.
Right. And we had this big discussion on a previous podcast, too, and I see your venture is the same as ours. Is like, first I was in the Warbirds, and then I got the multiplex ultra
– the Fun Cub?
Fun
Jet?
Yeah, the ultra – not the Fun Jet. What's the one after the ultra
– Ultra Fun Jet?
Yeah.
You had that?
Do you still have it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had one.
Right. I remember what happened to that. So then I got into these things that were just flying, 100 miles an hour and I was into the fast stuff and hopping everything up, and everything had to go 100 miles an hour, until the wings folded up. and then I started moving it. Well, funny story, I was flying up at Cleveland, up at Edgewater, and I had a Mustang, I had some Warbirds up there. They were cranking around pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gentleman up there that had like this high wing electric trainer. I think originally it was nitro and he converted it over to electric. And
it was Balsa?
It was Balsa. Mm-hmm. And he was just having so much fun. He was relaxed and he's rolling it around and he's going fast and he's going slow and he's doing touch and goes. And I was like, that looks like a lot of fun.
Right.
So I got home and was trying to do some research to find something. I didn't want Balsa, mm-hmm. but I wanted a high wing trainer. And at that time, the Fun Cub just came out.
Right.
And I ordered one and built it. And I fell in love with the Fun Cub.
Yeah.
Now I'm on this high wing, you know, trainer type playing kick now that I can't get enough
right
of.
Now?
Right now.
Oh, because you've had that Fun Cub for a while.
Well, I've had the Fun Cub, but then we ended up getting the Beaver, and then I have the Carbon Cub.
The Beaver flies awesome.
The Beaver's phenomenal.
That love thing, I cannot believe how yeah. well that thing flies.
Yes.
Right. And then Wayne got me into the sailplane, so, you know, we're out with our Radians and now the Mystique, and then, you know, and then, what, a year ago, David says, you've ever fly a DLG? I'm like, what's a DLG? Never. What? You're going to hand launch a glass? That's stupid, you know? Next thing I know, what, I got a DLG, you know?
Now you're obsessed.
Yeah, so yeah. It's just crazy how the progression, it's almost like, okay, what's coming next?
Yeah. Okay, so what were you doing Sunday?
Sunday, I did my very first, we were at the show. We'll mm-hmm. get back to the show here in a minute.
That's right.
The train's starting to derail off the show. But anyway, I've been wanting the KA-8. That's the Park Zone
glider.
Glider, mm-hmm. you know, no
we
motor.
Did a review.
We did a review on that. And it's kind of funny because when the guys first got it, we were doing a little practice run out here in the back. I hated the thing. I flew it twice. I'm like, man,
did you hate it?
It just didn't – they had a little issue with the CG at the time, and it was a little too far back, and we were trying to do some it wasn't off the bungee. We just had a string attached to it, and we were trying to pull it up. Okay. We were just trying to get it figured out. But the first few flights, I didn't like it. I was like, man, I don't know. So I watched the forums and watched some videos, and finally I'm like, you know what? I want one. And just happened to be at the show, and we were upstairs in the swap shop.
Yeah,
and everybody was pretty much gone. We're just walking around. We walked in this last big room, and there was a KA-8 bind and fly sitting there, and it said
$129.
And I looked at Wayne, and I go, that's got to be used. There's no way they're selling a brand new one, you know. So I asked the guy, and he goes, oh no, it's brand new. Take it out, check it out. And we pulled the box out. I mean, wrapped up brand new, and I was like, Oh, man.
I got to take it.
So I go, this is the right price, right? And he goes, well, I think let me call the guy. So he calls the guy, and he goes, he's talking to him. He goes, he said you could have it for $119. I said, I'll take it.
Wait, what was it marked at?
$129.
So he thought you were trying to get it lower.
Yeah, yeah. So he calls the guy and says, I'll give it to him for $119. So I walked out with a brand new. So Sunday, we were down with David, and he took the one, you know, that you guys reviewed, and we sat all afternoon with the High Start doing gliders.
Wow.
And it was a lot of fun.
That was a blast.
So.
Yeah, he had a big smile on his face.
Oh, did he?
Well, when I got home.
Oh.
Yeah, you guys were flying out there, and I don't remember where I was, but I got home, and he walked around the corner, just huge smile on his face.
Yeah, we had a really good time.
Yeah, this was our first nice day this year.
Yeah, so you're right. Crazy 40-mile-an-hour winds. The sun was out halfway, which is a plus for
it
us.
It wasn't perfect. It was bumpy.
Right.
But, hey, we got to fly.
Yeah, we took it. So
That's great.
Well, anyway, we'll try to get back to the show a little bit.
Yeah, so what are we talking about with the show?
I want to know, again, we'll get into what me and Wayne seen and what we liked and everything, but your perspective when you were walking around, what caught your eye or some things that you seen that you thought, oh, wow, that's awesome, or maybe I got to have it down the road or something?
Let me think. Well, I talked about the RC Logger stuff. I stopped by Eagle Tree. They have color on screen displays, and they have some new things.
Did you see or talk anything about the Vector that they have coming out? Or
that's their new flight controller. Yeah, it's like $270
wow.
though, or some. It's over $200. I don't remember the exact price.
Uh huh.
And I don't know how they're competing. I mean, they got good stuff. I started with Eagle Tree,
right?
You know, a logger and on-screen display and everything,
right?
But everybody else is coming out with stuff so much more inexpensive, mm-hmm. and it's—I don't know—it just—it's starting to feel overpriced. You know, there's so much competition. So I don't know if it'll do well. I mean, when I heard like 200, I stopped listening. You know, I'm like, that's yeah. I can build a whole quad with FPV setup for that,
right.
You know, with the flight controller.
Right.
So I mean, it better make eggs and toast.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. So that's that. I'm trying to think of
there
what else.
There was a couple other – again, I didn't stop and really check them out through the first run, but there was a couple other companies had some – looked like some pretty decent quads there or hexes there.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some – if there was any original kind of things. There was like Motor City quad or Motor City drones.
Okay.
But they were like a service. I'm still not exactly sure. I have to look at their card again. I'm not sure what they specialized in, but I think it was more like aerial videography and things like that. But I'm struggling to remember any other multi-rotors. I mean, I know there were things there, but nothing that really jumped out at me. It was just pretty much the RC logger stuff.
But anything new that you've seen that caught your eye? Like I remember last time we were there, the biggest thing there for the quadcopters and everything were the brushless gimbals coming out.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know if I saw any brushless gimbals that caught my. No, I think it was mostly the. the first booth we stopped at.
Oh, at Ready Made.
Ready Made RC was probably the most impressive to me because they had new goggles.
Uh-huh.
They had some new airframes. New airframes, which I don't remember the names of them, but they have some pretty innovative things coming out.
And I don't know a lot about them, but it looked like they had a ton of new type of antennas there too.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of those were Alex Greaves, IB Crazies, which I guess I saw all of them before that I think I saw.
Uh-huh.
But maybe to other people, there's some new ones. But they had all types of circular, polarized, directional, omni, and all of that.
It seems to me like the antennas now, they're getting the same quality and range, but they're getting smaller. Is that true?
No, it's just the different frequencies.
Just the different frequencies?
Yeah, the 5.8 is really tiny.
Okay.
And we used to use 900 and 1.2 or 1.3.
Right.
So it's just the 5.8. So we're just not flying as far.
Yeah.
The 5.8, you can get some decent distances with it, but it's with the 900, like you fly through the woods.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty solid. You can still do it with a 5.8, but just not thick woods.
Yeah. Now, why are they not sticking to like the 900 or the 1.2 or something like that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with channel congestion and things like that, and what's legal and what's not.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that. That's always a big debate on.
Yeah,
right.
But you guys started to have like a lot of interference with the 900 at one point, didn't you?
Not so much. It was just a lot more cumbersome.
Okay.
Bigger antenna. The 5.8, we were always switching channels because it's still congested, but there's a lot more channels to choose from.
There's only
one 900 frequency that's legal.
Okay.
So if you're flying with a buddy, they got to be on a completely different band or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where the 5.8, you can get like eight guys going. I mean, we haven't done eight, we've done four.
Okay.
So that's pretty nice.
All right.
But I wish.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you think a little bit.
Yeah, or if you think of anything you saw, I'm sure I have an opinion on it.
All right. Well, how about you, Wayne? What caught your eye? I mean, I obviously know a few things, but I mean, what really?
I didn't know there was going to be a test.
I thought, it was just a couple days ago. I thought maybe.
that's like an eternity.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem is I'm a kid in a candy store at that place. I mean, I can see anything there and like, oh, that would be fun. That would be cool. But I am stuck in glider mode, DLG mode.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped at Skip Miller's and we stopped at Kennedy Composites.
Yep.
There was a lot of cool DLGs and stuff. The Orion that Skip Miller had over there, that was really nice. And the price wasn't really bad either. I mean, when it comes to DLGs, unfortunately, DLGs
so
can get expensive.
But
you know what? You're talking about a lightweight, stiff plane that can take some serious G-forces, you know? And they're precision, so they're pretty awesome. But yeah, there was some really cool stuff that they had out up there. I like you guys talking about going upstairs and wandering around looking at stuff that was for sale.
I couldn't believe upstairs in a swap shop how many like old nitro engines of them people had for sale. Some of them guys looked like they had hundreds of them sitting there for sale.
Tons of them. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I really think they're going to be a collector's item before long. I really do.
There was two. It's weird because I look at things through business goggles as well, and I saw probably three booths that were Chinese companies. Mm-hmm. And the people running the booths were sitting there with their arms folded and kind of looking at the ground. Yeah. And I'm thinking, it's got to be tough, you know, because mm-hmm. they're trying to break into a new market. And as soon as you talk to them, they light up.
Oh, yeah.
And that. But yeah, I'm just thinking, I'm like, you travel all this way. You're at one of the best shows in the world. You got to – it might be a cultural thing, yeah. you know, but you got to stand up and look people in the eye and smile.
You got to engage. You got to engage people. You got to talk to people, you know.
Yeah.
Get
them interested. I felt bad because I stopped and looked at the products. One of them had – they were selling servos, but it kind of killed it for me because they were one size and they were larger.
Oh, yeah.
And – I don't have any use for those.
Yeah.
And then I forget what the other ones were selling. And then the other thing that I notice, and I don't understand the PG-13 booths.
Oh.
I mean, you know, guys are going there with their kids, you know, they're going there to share the hobby.
Yep.
Like, why? We don't need that. You know, it's not helping anything. And it's funny because what was interesting was watching the traffic go by the booth.
Yeah, right. They didn't even want
you
to stop.
See them. They actually avoid it.
Right.
You know, they might get some attention in that, but it's the wrong kind of attention. And it's not doing anything good for the hobby.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I mean, it's just my opinion, but I just, yeah, there's no place there for it.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And then the big part of the day had absolutely nothing to do with RC flying. We hooked up with the guy from Michigan that does the glider. He does cross-country glider races.
Oh, yes.
Oh man. Because Chris and I have been talking.
Hey, you guys were talking about that the whole trip home.
Oh. Yeah, we want to get up there, and we want to go fly in a glider. Mm-hmm. And so we found
You're talking full-scale.
Full-scale gliders. Yeah. Get up and so they hooked us up with some people from Cleveland, and there's this network. And sure enough, man, you know, give them money and you go up and they'll put you through a class for the day. And then next thing you know, you're up in the air. So
yeah, but I feel like an idiot. I wish I would have had that guy's name, give him a little plug. But I know he's out of Michigan. And maybe on the next one we'll talk a little. But I know David just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds very exciting. I'm looking forward to going up and checking it out and going for a flight. And maybe the way, you know, when I talk to him, I'm fortunate that I got some radio. Ratings that he said it might only take me about 10 flights to get my glider ratings. So mm-hmm. And it's cheap,
yes,
cheap to fly
absolutely.
Those things.
Yep.
So,
well, yeah. I bottom line is, I mean, the highlight was all the people.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
getting to meet
absolutely.
People and hearing yep. their stories about, you know, how they got into the hobby and what they enjoy and their favorite episode. You know, that was fun for me. And that was three quarters of my time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the rest was to see the few things I did remember.
Right.
Well, like we
right.
were coming back from lunch. We didn't even make it through the door. And this kid comes up and grabs David and he hands me his phone, wants to take a picture of him. But David, that was so fun to see. I mean, when you see that kind of enthusiasm coming from the fans, that to me, and you see David is just totally gracious. He just loves that, and he just talks to the kid, and it was just it was great.
Yeah. It just made me think of something when you were talking about some of these companies coming over from across the sea and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Before the economy took a big dump there, and we used to go up to Chicago for the iHobby show.
Right.
That was probably one of the largest shows around.
Right.
You know, and they have everything, not just airplanes or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to go on Sundays because they didn't want to pay all the shipping and everything to have all that stuff go back.
Yeah.
So you could pick up batteries and servos and chargers.
Selling it off really cheap.
You go by one time, they're like, take a charger, $50. Okay, I'll be back. When you come back around, here, take a charger, $25. I mean, you can walk out of there with all kinds of stuff cheap.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I'll just talk about a few things walking through there that we've seen that was kind of new. When we were coming through Hobbico, I know they've been announced, but they had them there. You know, they got the Air Corps series mm-hmm. line. So they had their
– Oh, I just thought of something.
Go ahead. They had their Zeros there, which mm-hmm. are all new. So they had those on display along with everything else. They had a new – I wish I would remember what it was. They got a new like a sport warmliner. That we looked at, Wayne. They have the rifle, and now they have a new one out. And I can't remember the name of it, what it was called. But they had that there.
Mm-hmm.
They had that new, what's their little micro quad there? Had a camera on it.
The 1SQ?
S1Q there with the camera on it with the new style frame.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just thought of it. No, I forgot. No, I remember. Hannes was, he's the CEO of Graupner.
Oh, okay.
So Graupner had some new controllers and with full color displays, transmitters.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so I got to stop by the booth and see that. I can't believe I forgot that because that was definitely one of the highlights is being able to check that out and meet Hannes. He was very friendly and didn't know the show at all. But that's okay.
Right.
I forgive them. Yeah. And it was great to see their new products. But
what do you think is going to take a company like that that's huge in the European market to get them over in here and get them established?
Well, I think they're really close. I think that's because they were just purchased, or I don't know if they were purchased by a European company or an American company, but I think this year they're going to be hitting the U.S. pretty hard. But we could help them with that.
That's true because, right now Spectrum and Futaba are probably the biggest. And now that Hi-Tech has kind of taken on the Aurora series.
Right, which I love.
Right. I think they're getting a little more popular now. Mm-hmm. So
because David uses it.
Yeah.
That's why I use it. Yeah. Because David showed it to me and I'm like, yeah, that's what. You know what? The telemetry with the voltage alarm.
Uh-huh.
Like that right there makes it worth it.
Yeah.
And it's just quality gear.
Yeah. So I just wondered what it would take for them to, get over here and
I don't know.
Get a presence, Yeah. It would just help everybody else.
What it would take is for them to be featured on Flight Test.
There you go.
Got a business card, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'll have to call them.
That's great. Yeah.
Hey, the other thing for the Warbird lovers out there. Now, we walked by and I checked out Diamond Hobby is kind of a newer company, but they're the new distributor in the U.S. for FMS.
Warbirds. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
somebody I noticed wasn't there.
Who?
Was Nitro Planes.
No, and I haven't seen them for quite a few years out and about.
They were at the show last year.
Oh, were they?
I'm pretty certain.
Maybe they were. Okay.
Yeah. And but I noticed this year they weren't there.
Yeah, Diamond Hobby is taking over North America for FMS.
Okay.
As far as I know. But they have, and I've had quite a few of their airplanes, especially like their 1400 millimeter Warbird series. And I can attest for the money. I think they are one of the best quality-wise, looks-wise, flying-wise. I think they're one of the best companies out there for
FMS.
Warbird. They really listen to their people, as far as channel. Like, they started out with their P-51. I had one of their first ones, and that was 2 years ago. And now they're already up to, version 8 because, every 6 months they take everybody's ideas, they watch the forums, they interact, and they go back and they change
it. Wow. I didn't realize they were that
right, and
proactive.
And they're tagging along like with Horizon. Their 800 millimeter series is now coming with a stabilization system.
Really,
and now they just come out with a new series. It's a little odd. It's a 980 millimeter Warbird series that'll either run off of 3-cell or 4-cell. Metal gear servos, and they're doing anywhere from, depending on what prop and what battery you run, they're going to go 85 to over 100 miles an hour.
That is an odd size.
It is an odd size. Yeah. But I was looking at, they had the P-47 Razorback sitting there in that 980, and it was beautiful. Retracts. Huh. But, I think that's going to be a hit when you can pull it out of the box, throw a 4-cell on it, and do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So. Trying to think besides Horizon, what else? I went by the JR booth a couple times. We walked around there, and they have a DLG out. And I seen the same DLG last year, and we looked at it and everything. But I haven't seen that out and about or marketed or anything. So I thought that was kind of weird.
What was it?
It's a small, probably 30-some inch DLG.
Uh-huh.
Foam. I think it's a foam core type DLG, and. But I haven't heard much about it. I was a little shocked about that.
And I wouldn't even know what to pay attention to. That's all you guys.
What else, Wayne? Oh, how about the Horizon booth? They've got got quite a few new products out right now. So we were over there talking to them guys and drooling over some of their some of their airplanes. But Chad, even you, I know you were pretty impressed with their large scale, like their P-51.
The new Mustang, yeah.
And me personally, I thought that Corsair was just amazing.
Yeah, I hadn't remembered seeing that before, but they said they've had it for a little while.
They have.
Corsair.
Yeah.
But yeah, the detail on it and the flaps, you see the multi.
Yeah.
It's not split flaps, but it's right, like a three-section flap.
Yep.
I mean, the detail. I would be so afraid to fly that.
Yeah, there's no way. No way I'd build one of them and fly it. I couldn't do it.
You build that and you put it up on your shelf. Right. Well, it's too big for a shelf, so I don't even know what you do with it.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of people that fly stuff like that. I fly things that I can repair within a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had their new ultra micro pits there on display, along with the ultra micro Radian. They had the new, which I'm so excited for, they had the new Park Zone Sport Cub there. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
I didn't. Wait, did I see
it's
that?
It's red and white. Had the,
yes, okay. I did see it.
Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about that. So they had that there. I'll tell you a plane that is just beautiful is they had the new Elusive there. Did you see that?
It's nope.
Kind of like a...
I apparently didn't pay attention to hardly any planes.
It's kind of a cross between a warm liner and a sailplane. It's beautiful, very streamlined. It's got a V-tail on it. It's a composite body, balsa tail. But the cool thing about that thing is it only runs off of a three-cell, like, 2200
okay.
and a power 15 motor. So it doesn't take a lot of juice, but it's very streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the videos, in person, the plane was just beautiful.
Wow.
It really was. So what else, Wayne? Think anything else we've seen there? Now I'm doing a Chad, and I'm drawing a blank on everything.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, the other couple things that Horizon and I forgot to mention is they had their big, beautiful Beaver sitting there, and we got to check out that thing. It's just awesome. And the other thing, too, they got this new sport aerobatic plane called the Artesian, and it's got the AS3X on it. And I heard rumors through the grapevine that that might be replacing the T-28, but I guess... we'll have to dig in a little deeper on that and try to find that out. But I think that's all.
What's the next? Do we have another topic?
I was going to ask you guys, now that you were there and you were walking around everything, if somebody walked up and said, here's $1,000, what would you buy there?
Okay. I'd probably buy that Corsair.
The Corsair?
Or the Mustang.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah, because I
now
would...
that blows my mind.
What would I do? Like... what would I do? Buy a bunch of multi-rotors?
That would be my guess.
Okay, maybe the goggles. Maybe the goggles at the ready-made. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the name of the goggles. I can't remember.
Not the Fat Sharks?
No, they were
new?
Yeah. I'm totally...
not the Zeiss ones? Or
Fox Tech, maybe?
That could be.
I think they were Fox Tech.
Okay.
Maybe those, but... if somebody gave me $1,000 and said buy something, I would buy that because I wouldn't normally buy it.
Okay. But then you wouldn't fly it probably.
No, but I would put it somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I would fly it if it was free. Because,
yeah.
You know, so.
I don't know if I could do it. I'd be so afraid of crashing it.
But it was so beautiful.
It was.
So.
And they had the radio engines. Oh, man.
Oh, that was something that I saw. I don't know if you saw. There was a... and I'm so sorry, I forget names of booths, but there was a booth where they sold the little gauges. It was scale gauges.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes.
They had heads-up displays.
Yes.
And they had little digital displays that mimicked the what do you call it?
They had the, like, glass cockpits.
Right.
In miniature, they had weather radar.
Yep.
They had everything on. I mean, yeah, we walked by. I was like, look at that. It actually moved and worked.
It was animated.
Yeah.
And they worked. And yeah, so that was pretty cool.
That was cool. And even some of their instrument panels that they had on display, the detail.
Oh, the Boss Cam goggles or Sky Zone. I think they might have had them both. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But either way, they had a bunch of pretty cool goggles there that I thought would be nice to try.
How about you, Wayne? $1,000. What would you pick up there?
I would probably go back to one of the DLGs from Skip Miller.
The Freak, maybe, or the Orion?
I'd probably go with the Orion, because like we were saying, I like that floatier. I like it to be a little bit more closer to a glider
mm-hmm.
and still be hand-launched instead of competition style, which I'm not there, so I think I would probably prefer the Orion.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think one of the gentlemen there at Skip Miller was showing us a sailplane. It was kind of a competition high-end sailplane, probably around in the, I don't know, 130, 40, 50-inch range.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to try one of those mm-hmm. just to see.
So that's what you would buy with $1,000?
Yeah.
How much was it?
It actually was $1,200.
I was going to say, so it's $1,000 plus you got to pitch in.
And I don't think that was minus, servos and motor.
I think that Corsair was $999.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, minus in the motor they had in it was almost $2,000.
Oh, did it come with it?
No.
Oh, so
that's
I don't get the motor.
That's just bare bones airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It was beautiful, though.
Hey, we had April Fool's here a while ago.
Yeah, it was the day of the fire.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
That was April. That's
because
right.
David told me that the laser caught fire.
April
and,
Fool's.
And my wife, my wife was like, is that an April Fool's joke? And I'm like, I actually hoped that it was a sick joke, but unfortunately it wasn't. But that now I'll remember that it was April 1st.
I just have, going through the forums and stuff and on Twitter and everything, like Horizon, they shot out a bunch of stuff that was, I thought, pretty funny for April Fool's or whatever. But has anybody played any like April Fool's type jokes on you guys while you were flying or anything like that?
Actually, no.
No?
This is going to be a really boring part of the...
Okay. Well, I got a few. I got a few.
Well, what?
Well, I had one. We had a gentleman, a friend of mine. Drives cars, huge car guy, but
right.
He's always intrigued about airplanes. So one day he came down and we took him out and we were letting him fly everything. Well, my good buddy Pat that I fly with, he's got the Park Zone P-51 brushless, and we were going to set it up on the trainer cord. Well, uh-huh. We got it all set up. You know how you got to, once you get it hooked up, you got to get it all trimmed out on the other radio.
Right.
So we got going and he got up and he goes, okay, it's yours. So we got going. I'm like 10 feet off the ground. This thing's just aiming like right for the ground. I go, Pat, I don't have control. He's going, you got it. I don't have it. It's your airplane. I go, no, I don't have it. And I'm freaking out. And he goes, I got it. I'm just teasing. I was like, that is not funny, man. There was another story on the forums I was reading.
It would have been funnier if he would have actually wrecked it.
Knowing Pat, there's a good chance that could have happened. But just the look on his face when he looked over and just grinned and smiled, like, oh, you, yeah. So that was pretty funny. There was a story on RC groups. They were at a one of those big competitions, where they got like the 25% aerobatic planes, uh-huh. The big gassers. And they had they come out and the guy couldn't get his planes. And they had this all planned, but it was pretty funny. They couldn't get it to start. So mm-hmm. His buddy, they usually have a caller that stands by him that watches over and everything. So they brought his plane out and they fired that thing up. Well, nobody knew it, but they had the guy's son hiding in the bushes. So they take this plane off, and this is before 2.4. So they're going around. The plane was a little erratic. So they were saying, we got a couple glitches, but we should be okay. We're going to keep going, Well, pretty soon. The guy acted like he had no control over it, and he was freaking out. So he passed the radio off to the caller, which was his airplane, thinking, okay, here, you figure this thing out. So they got they freaked out because they said, everybody scatter. We don't have no control over it. And they threw the radios down, and they started running. Well, needless to say, as this airplane was coming into the flight line, they just went up into a knife edge and went about 3 feet all the way down the flight line. And here the guy's son was hiding in the bushes. So,
wow.
I think that would be a pretty funny joke.
So who all was in on it?
I think just the three guys. Nobody else knew. Oh, so okay. The whole crowd and everybody watching was going, oh, my, they're going to crash this $5,000, gas aerobatic plane, freaking out. And then it just does a knife edge down the flight line.
Hmm.
So did you guys see any of the April Fool's stuff that, Horizon put out or anything? None?
Nope. Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. I'm just checking. They had it on Facebook and they threw it out on Twitter. But some of it was kind of funny. And at first I thought I forgot it was April Fool's.
Right.
But the best one though was Futaba come out and they had this huge post on RC groups about a new radio they had out.
Right.
And it actually got a lot of people. But some of the things that was so funny, they called it the Any Protocol Diversity radio. It would bind with any receiver. It had a touch screen on, computer screen, but it was also a phone, so you could make phone calls and text at the same time you're flying. You could use gloves with the touch screen, so you use it in the wintertime. It was also wireless, Bluetooth, unlimited channels.
They probably just took their customer complaints or whatever and just compiled it into one.
But what's funny is reading the comments after that where these people are like, oh, this is going to be the best. It's probably going to be $1,000, but I'm buying one, you know. But the stuff they threw in there, they were going to have.
And they should have had a price on it, like $199.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it had a built-in stabilization, unlimited channels, the receiver that came with it. Oh, they were going to have wireless servos that came with it. It was just hilarious. And then let's see. I forgot them wrote down here somewhere. Verizon had a couple good ones too. They came up with the Curiosity rover. Did you see that one? They had the moon rover from Mars. You know, so they had that out there. They had a new spectrum with artificial intelligence that, like, if you got tired or something happened, that you could just set your radio down and it would fly.
And it would fly itself.
They had they said they are coming out with the Blade 180 that had the Sonic Combat module, which this is funny. And they're like, have you guys seen these new companies coming out where they're going to deliver your products with drones? Well, we got something to intercept that. And you take your 180 out with your Sonic Combat module and hit it, and it goes, pretty soon you're going to have a new phone coming back to you. That was pretty funny. They said they're going to come out with the Habu Kitty 2 and the Ultra Micro Kitty 2 in pink. So that was just a couple things I thought was pretty funny for
that's good stuff.
New Year's Day.
I'm sad I missed it.
Yeah. Hey, just real quick before we finish up here, I know we're going over an hour here, but I was just wondering what you guys think. Looking around up there at the show and everything, it seemed to be back in the day when they had a lot of the Nitro stuff out, the Nitro engines and everything, that there was a lot of, like, you know, 50-inch, 60-inch, 70-inch planes, and that was kind of the norm. Now, walking around everything, yeah, there's still some big planes out there, but it seems like everything's coming down to a smaller scale or smaller size. So. Did you guys notice any
of that? Well, I haven't been in long enough to really notice that transition, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this smaller is going to be less expensive. It's going to be easier
to transport.
Easier to repair, less mass when you hit the ground.
Right.
You know, so... Yeah. But, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, look at Horizon is turning everything into ultra micro.
Ultra micro. And I think I've said it before, too, now that we have these small gas engines coming out, you know, you got a 10cc, a 15cc.
Really, I've been wanting to get into gas.
Me, too. Yeah. I miss the gas from the car
days. I don't miss it. I don't never play with it. Oh, you never really played? Well, I did buy a radio control car for my brother like 20 years ago, and it was a Nitro.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty certain it wasn't gas.
Right.
And I think I drove it once.
Uh-huh.
Like once. And so that was the extent of it.
Yeah. So I think with these smaller gas and everything kind of getting a little bit smaller, you're going to see a lot of, you know, like 30-inch, 40-inch, you know, planes with these small gas engines. And I know now Horizon's got a truck out that they converted a regular Nitro engine over to gas now. Huh. It's almost the same engine, but it's like a small, like 0.30cc original Nitro engine is now gas.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I would be interested in seeing that. And Nitro, anytime I was ever around it, it just was always a pain.
It is complete pain.
Yeah, so I don't even – but the problem is I like the small ones because it's just less of an investment and all of that. But the gas doesn't get that small. Right. So now if gas is actually getting smaller –
You got a 10cc gas engine now that will run – you could probably run a half hour on a tank of gas. There's no – now that with the electronic fuel injection they're coming out with.
What size is the engine on the P51 from Horizon, the one that we reviewed, remember?
No, I don't.
It had the Evolution.
Oh, that was That was a nitro engine. I forget what size.
What equivalent would that be? Do you know any gas?
I think it'd be either a 10 or 10 cc or 15. You could. It'd probably run off a 10 cc, but 15 cc would.
So a 10 cc would be a little bit smaller than that airframe.
Right. Okay. Right. 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 Yeah.
So yeah, I was just wondering because I don't know gas or nitro or sizing.
Yeah.
For it.
But I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll gladly explore that.
All right. Good. I think I'd love to see a little bit more, you know, now the stuff's getting smaller and cheaper, get some more of the gas stuff on test.
Well, and we've been asked for that, I mean, for 3 years.
Yeah.
The problem, and we did a little bit, but the problem is just so much build and maintenance. It's just everything is more serious.
Yeah.
I don't want to say serious, more involved.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, obviously a lot of the stuff we're trying to do is be able to help people that want to get into the hobby and keep going. And
right.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to do it, though.
Right, right. So. Well, this has been fun, guys.
Yes,
I'm glad you came in.
Well,
and
thank
sat
you
down.
For inviting me. Yeah. I apologize. I was running late.
That's all right.
I felt horrible when I got your text.
Yeah, and maybe we'll keep in touch a little bit more. Maybe we can maybe sometimes come in here on a Saturday morning and sit down and chat and have some coffee. And
you that know, sounds good.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'll be great. A little more peppy.
Yeah, I know. I worked all day too. I was sucking down the coffee here on my way here, but it's still fun. I enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I mean it never gets old talking about this wonderful hobby.
Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Well, again, we thank you for listening. We're having a good time. We got a lot of stuff in the works. I think it's just going to get better. But again, if you have any comments or questions or anything, shoot me an email at chris@flighttest.com or hit me up at Twitter at, FT After Hours on Twitter. So, and I'll take your questions and comments. I love hearing from you guys.
Nice.
So other than that, we're out of here until next time. So we'll see you guys later.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you guys.